Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do Journey with Mary to one of the places where she has made an appearance. That's right, the Virgin Mary, our Blessed Mother, Queen of Heaven, showing up on Earth many times, close to 2,700 times documented over the last 2,000 years. She's been busy, starting in 40 AD, the first documented one, all the way up to present day. That's right, right now. So I didn't know about any of this until about 11 years ago. And I was fascinated because I work as a psychiatric therapist and I study people's behavior and emotions and all sorts of things of the mind. And this was completely different. Not at all anything of a psychological nature. And other professionals have said the same. Anyone who's investigated this has found the visionaries to be everyday people. Nothing even special many times. Not even believers. Not even good religious followers. It could be anybody. And they didn't expect it or want it or need it, but they ended up being involved in a very supernatural experience that changed their lives and changed the lives of those around them. And sometimes thousands or if not millions around them. So what an impact these encounters have had. So on our show, we try to bring you a selection of them, the best ones that we could find the most information, the most research, the most evidence for, and present it to you. Now, most Catholics might be able to name four, five, if they're lucky, maybe six apparitions just in general. And that's because they're only usually taught about three of them in Catholic school, Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima. But there are others. In fact, as I said, there's over 2,600 something, you know, documented. And I know of some that aren't even on that list that have happened. But people don't always report it. They don't always turn it in officially. Anyway, so we study what's going on here and we try to give you the best information. And we have found amazing patterns in that data, which suggests reality, not fantasy. Because with fantasy and hallucinations and imagination, you'd have everything going in so many different directions and hardly ever matching up. It would truly be like a thousand fantasies. But this is not the case. No matter what country, what decade, what culture, what part of the world, her appearances and her manner of doing things is extraordinarily similar, and the details are amazingly alike. And that paints a picture of reality. Scientists have studied this. They cannot explain it. And not just American scientists, but French and Italian and Spanish and Australian and German. I mean, so many different groups of scientists have descended upon these places and interviewed and tested and tried to trick the visionaries and come away dumbfounded and amazed. Not once did they expose a fraud, unless it was pretty obvious before they even investigated. I mean, that's pretty rare. Not many people make this stuff up because what do they get from it? What do they gain from making up something like this? No, in fact, the people involved often don't want to be involved, but they find themselves definitely connected. So tonight we'll be going to a place where maybe no one thought the Virgin Mary would show up, and that's Vietnam. Not that there's anything wrong with Vietnam, but we always associate the Virgin Mary with Spain or France or Italy or something like that. And it just goes to show she goes all over the world. And our story tonight is in Vietnam. We'll get back to that in a second. Before we do that, I'd like to bring on our team here. First of all, my co-host, Donald Hartley. How are you tonight, Donald?
Well, you know, John, just with what you were saying, you go to Song of Solomon and you look at chapter 6, verse 10. It asks the question, who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Well, that's about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as we're looking at Vietnam, well, that just shows that, and I met a lot of people from Vietnam who are Catholic, and I think that Our Lady has a lot to do with that. What do you think?
Oh, sure. She has an impact. Like when Guadalupe happened in Mexico, 9 million Indians converted to Catholicism. That's a bit of an impact. 9 million. So, yeah, she definitely has an effect. And speaking of countries, I was so glad last week that you pulled up the countries that were listening. Just for our listeners tonight, it stretched from the Philippines to the Hawaiian Islands, to Mexico, to Kenya, Africa, and Pakistan in Asia were just some of the ones that you, Donald, were able to pull up and say who's listening out there. And that truly shows how it spans the world completely. You mark those on a map, it goes all the way around the globe. And how exciting that is to continue to hear from those countries out there that they're tuned into this show and they know how important this is. All right. So we'll have from Tennessee, Doc's on. Hello, Doc. Are you there, Doc? Well, we're waiting for him.
I'm sorry, I muted the phone. I didn't want to be making noise. I have something I got to tell you. That book you gave me, Show Me God, or Show Me.
I
gave that. I let a friend of mine read it, and we were talking yesterday, and they had questions that about previous marriages and stuff. They're not Catholic or anything, but I directed them to a Latin Mass priest to start their RCIA and conversion travel.
All right.
Hopefully.
Nice.
I love hearing that.
So,
well, that was the book that was meant to convince those who doubted or who were ignorant or didn't understand or confused or whatever you want to call it. So
I think that painting in the cave kind of put it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, explain that one.
Well, I'm so glad that book has made a difference. I've heard of others of my books having converted Protestants over to Catholicism. So that's a win for sure. And we have Joseph from Colorado joining in. Hey there, Joseph.
Hello.
Hey, Joseph.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Are you recuperating?
I'm not doing very good. But the pain is just ridiculous, and you know, they shave you, of course, for all that crap, and I don't think hair is growing back. I think a bunch of needles are growing back.
I swear, exactly.
I constantly have these horrible, horrible pains, and you know, I may have to go in for another surgery. They had talked about and I don't remember why they didn't, but that we had talked about removing the whole scrotum itself, and we didn't, and I think it has to go, and I mean, that's just where most of the pain is, and
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's what I get for being a bad kid, you know. Payback's a real bitch.
Yeah.
Make them do the rest of it. It's just Satan messing with me. I actually got visited by a demonic force last Saturday night. It was a Sunday night. I get drugs. I can't think. Last Sunday night, and I'm awake 2:30 in the morning, and it's getting cold. I got my heater set on like 61, and I can't afford to put it up much higher. And I raised it today actually to 64. We got like 7 inches of snow. Excuse me, and I get under the blankets and I doze off, and then I hear a noise, and I open my eyes, and then I close them again. And I don't hear anything, and then I hear my bedroom door open. I'm like, damn it! Of course, immediately I knew what it was, and I'm not looking. I got keeping my eyes closed. I'm to myself. I'm like, God help me! God help me! God help me! By power of Lord Jesus Christ, be gone! By power of Lord Jesus Christ, our Father who art in heaven, get to deliver us from evil. And I say this all the time, even at Planned Murder, deliver us from evil. I'll just keep on saying that, deliver us from evil. And nothing happens. And this thing gets into bed with me. And so now I'm, you know, freaking. And I'm going through all that stuff again, and nothing's happening. And finally, I'm like, I guess I got to say it out loud. And then the thing probably knows I'm awake anyway. And it touches me. And so I just start screaming it. You know, God help me, God help me. God, you know, the power of Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. You know, like, three times each. And by the time when I finished the third Our Father, it disappeared. And I got up and I went into the living room. I didn't want to be in my bedroom no more. And put on the TV and didn't even watch it. Just started praying and just wanted some noise. And I stayed up till like 5 in the morning and made myself a peanut butter sandwich. Then I even messed with myself. I'm like, did this really happen? Even though, you know, that's this is now the eighth, you know, demonic experience I've had and in my place. And so I'm messing with myself and I go back to my bedroom and I go to the bathroom and I get done and I'm facing my bed and I sleep on the edge of the bed. And, you know, because of my, you know, half paralysis, I sleep on the very edge so I can move real quickly. And if I have to, and I'm looking at the bed, and I don't mess up the other side whatsoever, and it's clearly messed up. You know, something was obviously in that bed, and then I started praying again. You know, and so now I got a rosary on that side of the bed. I put holy water, holy oil around the bed. I put salt, and we're working on an exorcist coming here to do my place completely, you know, and not just bless it, but to have an exorcist, and everybody's talking about it, and so it's going to happen. You know, I had let it go last time, and just because whatever reasons, but this time I'm like,
Joseph,
I can't let it go. Yeah.
Joseph, can I make one suggestion? Get
sure.
It done in the old Latin rite.
Yeah, yeah.
This
exorcist is that
yeah,
we have in mind.
They've done it
to
church
on
so many levels.
This ain't something you want to play with.
Go to the old school.
No. Well, I think this guy does both anyway. But this guy who we have in mind. There's more than one exorcist in this area, and this guy's not even there. This guy's in Denver. He's written books. I forget his name offhand, but he's you know, big time, and one of the few that people know who it is, because, you know, they keep it a secret because these guys are under attack, you know. And,
right.
uh, But yeah, it's going to get done. And I mean, I'm going to do everything. You know, it's a, you know, the deacon's going to come by and bless it. You know, even before that, and to, just to have it done, and gotta throw everything we can at it. Just see, this, you know, demon, Satan just doesn't let up on me. You know, it's a, you know, between health and, you know, it's, you know, I'm not weary of what I'm going through medically. I know I'm not meant to die, and, but the suffering and, is a little ridiculous. You know, it's like, I yelled at God recently, and actually Saturday and, last Saturday, yeah, I'm trying to get all these timelines right. Yeah, it was last Saturday, I think now. Anyway, whatever day. My pain was so bad, and he says, well, you asked for it. I mean, he spoke to me. I'm like, excuse me? He said, you asked for it. I said, no, I didn't. He said, you did. I said, how's that? Well, why would I do that? He said, did you not asked to take away your cousin's pain in California, who was in an accident and suffering miserably? Yes. Did you not ask to take away Christine's pain, who had eye surgery and her eye was horrible with pain and it stopped the next day? Yes. Did you not ask to take Anita's pain away, whose cancer actually just came back? We actually just found Friday. She had female cancer, and now it's in her hips, in her liver, in her kidney, in the cervical, and in lymph nodes. Unbelievable. And she has no pain. Did you not ask to take that? Did you not ask to take that pain? Okay, yes, I did. He says, well, I said, well, you could have told me, okay, you know. you could have warned me that it was going to happen, you know. And so all my pain has just been horrendous. And but now that I know that, I'm accepting it better. And when I'm in a miserable spot, I just ask God to help me. And maybe he doesn't necessarily calm it, but he calms me, you know, and gets me through it. And so that's what I'm doing, trying. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a story. Yeah.
I know.
You really did take on the pain of others. And wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful what
totally.
You pray for.
exactly. Well, yesterday, a friend of mine and I, talking about the snow coming, and they always warn us ridiculously, you know, and it never happens. And so, you know, they're saying 1 to 3 inches, and we're both laughing. Yeah, if we get a dusting, we're lucky. You know, okay, so now, you know, so we got, I got 7 inches here, and he calls me. He says, stop asking God for things, because I had said, I'd rather get a foot than a dusting, you know, and it's more fun, you know. And he's like, stop asking God for things. He listens to you.
Yeah, I think he definitely. You have an awesome connection.
Yeah, a little
hey,
bit.
Hey, you know, I'm going to send you my Christmas list, okay?
I don't do that. You know how many people ask, you know how many people in the last 20 years have asked me to pray for them to hit the lottery? You know, I don't do it for myself. I'm not going to do it for someone else. God says, ask for your daily bread. That's that. End of story. You know, and yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joseph.
Yeah.
Amazing report from Colorado. We appreciate you.
To say the least, I haven't really been out, you know, and I'm at 13-13, and that's a crazy number to stay still at for a little bit. I've had a couple of phone calls, and you know, it's amazing. My phone still rings, and I still talk to people, and I've gone out and met with a couple of people, and I don't know exactly what happened, but the last time I talked to you, I think it was 12-12. But what happened was, going to church 2 weeks ago, a car drives past me, and a young kid driving, and hits the brakes really fast, you know, and I got my walker, you know, with my trust God and the abortion sign on it. And he stops his car, runs up to me, gets in my face, cursing the heck out of me. And really, really get it. And I'm telling him to back up because I'm not going to put up with it, you know. And another kid, I hear a kid yelling. Apparently, I learned that he's picking him up to go to work. And this kid spits in my face, and I deck him. And the other kid runs up and helps the kid up and starts yelling at him. Why are you doing this to this guy? We like this guy. And now a man is running up the street. And he's yelling, and he comes up, and he grabs the kid, and he says, if it wasn't for him, and he says, excuse me, he says, I don't know your name. I said, Joseph. He says, if it wasn't for Joseph, I wouldn't have my two-year-old grandbaby. And I look at him completely stunned, you know.
Wow.
And I'm like, what, you know? And he tells the kid to get the hell out of here. He says, I'll drive my son to work, you know. And he says, yeah, you know, we see you with this sign. We see you a couple times a week with all these signs out front. You're waiting for your taxi. He says, we love the big Jesus picture. We love to plan murder with one. And we talked to our daughter about it. And, you know, she wanted to get this abortion. We're like, you can't do this, you know. And because of you and having the strength that you have to do what you do, we just pulled it off of you and told her that she needs to do the right thing. And he said, I'm sorry I never came and told you, but now you know. And so I was just like, looking up at God. I'm like, wow, you know. I'm like, thank you. I needed that, you know. And
exactly.
13.
Yep.
That's
lucky
amazing. Number. Lucky, I'm really
lucky number 13. With 1,313 saves, I'm not surprised if you have grown a few years and people are coming back in to thank you. They should. You have saved a whole city.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
amazing. Well, keep up the good work.
So that's two. That's two within a block of me. One, you know, I live at a T, right at the T, just about, and 6 years ago, a Hispanic couple knocked on my door and asked me to talk to their daughter. And I've been invited to some of her birthday parties. I've seen this little girl grow up, you know. And so now in two directions of where I live, I got little girls that exist, you know. Unbelievable.
Oh. Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Sainthood is yours. You have done amazing work and suffered terribly and still never lose your resolve and your mission, and it's so admirable. So much.
Oh,
I want to see a movie
made
of
your
life.
I have my moments, yeah. But yes, I keep on going. I try to keep on going. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to our story tonight, we're going to Vietnam, and it's the year 1798. That's right, a little bit after our Revolutionary War, 1798 in La Vang, Vietnam, and it's known as Our Lady of La Vang. So it started with the persecution of Catholics in Vietnam, which started in 1640 and escalated over a century later into 1798, when the Nguyen dynasty decreed Catholicism as, quote, a religious sect introduced by foreigners to rally the working class to revolt against the ruling dynasty, unquote. Well, that's what they claimed. All 37 parishes in Dinh Cat were attacked, and churches were destroyed, and more than 100,000 Vietnamese Catholics died as martyrs. So that was a huge hit. 100,000 Vietnamese Catholics died as martyrs. Well, in the meantime, many Catholics took refuge in the deep jungle of La Vang near Quang Tri, but they experienced hunger, sickness, dangerous animals, starvation, and bitterly cold weather. They prepared themselves for martyrdom, but they would still pray the rosary every night, huddled together at the foot of a large banyan tree. One night in the jungle in 1798, they were unexpectedly visited by an apparition of a beautiful lady. We hear that every week. Beautiful lady among the branches of the tree. She appeared in a long cape, wearing a traditional Vietnamese long dress known as an ai dai, and holding a child in her arms. There were also two angels. They were like bright lights at her sides. She comforted and reassured the sick and weary refugees. Boy, I bet that was a sight. She told them to boil the leaves from the surrounding trees to use as medicine. She stated that all who would come to this place would have their prayers heard and answered. This all took place on the grassy area near the big ancient banyan tree where the refugees had been praying the rosary. All those who were present witnessed the miracle. The sick were healed. And by 1802, they could return to their villages. Now, before I go on, let's stop with that. That's pretty neat that Mary says, hey, boil the leaves from these surrounding trees and no one will die. And they were, all the sick were healed. Pretty amazing. Of course, everyone always asks me, what trees were those? I don't know. It doesn't say what kind of trees they were. But I'm sure we could figure it out, find out eventually. But right now, I don't know which trees they were.
You named a tree in the beginning. It wasn't that tree?
Quang Tree was
Quang
the
Tree.
City. Yeah.
Oh.
You said she said to gather around this tree in the beginning,
oh, the
right?
The banyan tree, yeah.
The banyan tree.
But it wasn't that tree? It says it leaves some
surrounding
trees. Right.
Oh, okay.
Not the banyan tree.
When you opened the story and you said that you read what the dynasty, the supreme leader of the dynasty came down, that Catholicism was introduced to rally the working class against his ruling party. And you know what I heard there when you said that he had actually wrote that he was very poorly catechized. And I think that if he was actually catechized properly, that 100,000 martyrs would be alive. And that because Catholicism, I mean, it doesn't really go against politics. It's on a different plane, especially back then. Now, I don't know, maybe the guy was a tyrant and stuff like that, but it tells you, I mean, you got to turn the other cheek and give the Caesar what is his. And, yeah, I mean, really, he just didn't have an understanding of Catholicism. It was, seriously, and it would have actually helped him run the masses. By trying to wipe them out, what are you going to do? You're going to cause rebellion.
It's kind of like the Romans and the Jews were afraid of Jesus and leading a revolt and the poor and all them rising up. And I mean, it's the same kind of deal. I mean,
yeah.
What do you think, Donald?
Well, I'm just fascinated with everything. And I just, something happened today. Something happened today because Father gave a family, a couple, an opportunity to speak at the podium today. And they, what they did was they adopted a child they adopted a child. And it's interesting because I've been praying this every day, even on the radio I've been praying, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. And this family came up to me and thanked me for that, what I was doing, because my prayer of petition, they believe, helped save that child. I'm like, wow. And I got a chance to meet that little baby.
Cool.
Nice.
So God does hear prayers.
I think we should have sent Donald to talk to that imperial leader. Donald would have converted him in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that would have been nice. So, by 1802, they could return to their villages. So that was about 4 years later. Long time to be in the jungle, but at least they came out healthy and kept eating those leaves, I guess. They erected a small and desolate chapel in her honor in 1820. Now, despite its isolated location in the high mountains, groups of people continued to find ways to penetrate the deep and dangerous jungle so that they could pray to the Lady of Lavang. Many prayers have been validated as having been answered. So she said, you come here, your prayers will be answered. And people said, yep, they were. Gradually, the pilgrims that came with axes, spears, canes, and drums to scare away wild animals were replaced by those holding flags, flowers, and rosaries. Despite the ongoing persecution campaign, pilgrimages continued every year. Now, another wave of persecution happened from 1830 to 1885, and this decimated the Christian population and destroyed the chapel. With the persecution ending in 1885, Bishop Gaspar ordered a new church to be built on that location to the Lady of Lavang in 1886. Almost 100 years later, because of limited funding and its remote and difficult location, it took 15 years to complete. So on August 6th, 1901, Bishop Gaspar inaugurated the new church in a solemn ceremony attended by 12,000 people. That's a lot of people made it through the jungle. 12,000
really?
People. Yeah. And by 1928, a much larger church was needed and replaced the old one. Now, in August of 1962, Pope John the 23rd elevated the Church of Lavang to the Basilica of Lavang. And on June 19th, 1988, Pope John Paul II held a canonizing ceremony for 117 Vietnamese martyrs. He proposed rebuilding the Basilica of Lavang in August of 1998 to commemorate the 200th anniversary of the first apparition. The Vatican cannot officially recognize this apparition because the country of Vietnam does not recognize the Vatican State and still opposes the Vatican's appointments of cardinals, etc. Politics. But the Vatican was wanting to and willing to. They just weren't allowed to because of Vietnam's attitude. But in 2013, and I heard this report personally, a person who travels to Vietnam frequently said that Mary's statue at the Shrine of Lavang had begun weeping tears in recent years. So there you go.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a video of that not less than like a month ago. That statue is weeping tears. Yeah. And it wasn't like an old video. It was happening.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So.
That's right.
Wow.
So that's quite a story.
Okay. Okay, John?
Yeah.
I can tell you now that we've had two responding from the Philippines to this show.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Hello, Philippines. Glad to have you on board. As always, you've always been with us. May not have been the same people, but there's always people from the Philippines tuned in. And we're so grateful. We know how much you love Mary in the Philippines. And we have, I have at least five stories from the Philippines, some really good ones that we always come around to.
Yeah.
Anyone else from out there, Donald?
This is right. That's the only two that I've been able to see.
Okay. That was so cool last week. Joseph, I don't know if you heard that, but last week, we had Philippines, Hawaii, Mexico, Kenya, and Pakistan circling the world. And it was just so awesome. And those were just random people that Donald picked up on that were tuned in. So we knew they were out there
praise
listening,
God.
But it was nice to, yeah.
Hey, John,
Joseph,
can
we're
you,
gonna
to... yeah, John, can you explain what you said, that these guys didn't recognize Rome?
Oh, yeah. Hold on, let me back up to that. The Vatican cannot officially recognize this apparition because the country of Vietnam does not recognize the Vatican State and still doesn't like the Vatican's appointments of cardinals and others for Vietnam. So they don't really recognize the Vatican.
Well,
like I said, poor catechesis.
Yeah.
If they understood, if they understood what Catholicism is really about, not only would they welcome it, they would crave it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So are these like Eastern Orthodox Catholics then? Something like that, probably?
I don't know. It doesn't say really.
Yeah.
What do you think, Donald? Is that
Eastern Orthodox? The Philippines? No.
No. Vietnam.
No, Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam? No, I believe that they're Orthodox. They're Catholic, Roman Catholic.
Well, no, they can't be Roman Catholic and not be under Rome, right?
No,
yeah.
The Catholic Church. I mean, I did my Crusade in Carthage, Missouri, where they have they had refugees, Vietnamese refugees there, and they were definitely Catholic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Joseph, we've got to make sure that you are very careful what you pray for.
On that note, Joseph, can you put in a prayer for my
let
young
it
brother?
Snow, let it snow, let it snow. put a prayer in for what, Doc?
My younger brother, his colon cancer has been removed from all his organs, but it is transferred to his skeletal system. Hip, left leg, that whole region, and we're looking at a couple vertebrae.
Yeah.
He's about to go through another run of the treatment, and the prospects look good. That's what they're telling him. But my attitude is, what else are they going to tell you?
Yeah.
You know? They're not going to tell you you're doomed. They're going to tell you, this will work. So, you can put in a prayer for him, and that goes for anybody else who cares to. I I mean, I'll take, you know, I want to use the shotgun approach on this. Many prayers as I can get.
Well, definitely. But, you know, the same thing I told my friend Anita, you know, I said, you know, I talked to him in great detail after I said it, her and her husband Ed. And I said, I'm going to pray for God to be merciful. I said, it's traveled too far. I mean, God could do anything, obviously. You know, I said, but it's, you know, just like your brother-in-law, apparently, you know, this
Not
isn't the first shot. This isn't the first shot. You know, she had all the female stuff. She had all the chemo, you know, I've never said yes to chemo every time with the 12 tumors on my face. I just had radiation for the groin. I just had radiation, the tumor in my stomach, which is not cancerous, just keeps on growing, the damn thing. And I just keep on, you know, having radiation and shrink that. And but yeah, you know, just pray for God to be merciful and you know, to not put yourself in a position of being disappointed, you know, and to accept reality to a degree. And but yeah, most definitely, I'm so happy that she's not in pain, because you know I can deal with it now that I understand why my pain got worse, you know. And and when I have a bad moment, I just you know God help me, you know, get through this and help me to pray. And you know, because sometimes it's hard, I don't want to pray, I just want to sulk, you know, and so help me pray and help me take the focus off of my pain and anybody else with pain and to not waste it, to give it up for every cause under the sun, you know, because there's so much need out there. And so, yeah, my pain level is ridiculous, and it has been for a long time now, having the reflex sympathetic dystrophy. You know, as a doctor, you probably know something about that, RSD,
right.
And it's, you know, it's the worst pain syndrome in existence, and to have that for 30 years now, and don't waste it, give it up.
Joseph, I'm not asking you to take his pain. I just want you to put in a good word with the man. Maybe he can get cured.
Okay? Well, yeah,
I don't want you to suffer at all.
Well, no, I'm not saying that part. But and again, you know, let God's will be done no matter what.
Amen
and I tell everybody that too. When you know, we have moments in church sometimes where they'll say, you know, turn to everybody around you and say, how can I pray for you? And that's always been my reply, you know, that I do God's will. And because that's not an easy thing to do, and let his will be done no matter what.
Joseph, whenever I see a ambulance, police car, fire truck, or hear a siren, I cross myself twice and I say two prayers. Lord have mercy. Thy will be done.
Yeah, I bless
every
especially out of Planned Murderhood, they go by all the time at that location, and I bless every single one of them. The fire department has stopped a few times and thanked me, you know, thank you for doing that. You know, it means a lot to us when we see you do that. So I appreciate it. Thank you for telling me. You know, I mean, it's just a little thing to bless somebody
that
else.
Nice of
you
that.
Know? Yeah,
nice.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
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 Well, they deserve it.
Yeah. So next week we go to Poland, and it's one that very few have heard about. It's in Lichen, Poland, Lichen, Lichen or Lichen, not sure how to pronounce it. And the year is 1813, and again in 1850. And we'll deal with that next week. And that should be interesting indeed. And one of Poland's many, quite a few happened in Poland. And Poland put out a lot of things. Paul II, or John Paul II.
John Paul.
And Sister Faustina. And, oh, my gosh, so many interesting things with Poland, indeed. So,
Well, we're getting near the end of our time. Any other final comments?
Pray for the mass shooting victims in Florida.
Yeah. Have to look into that. That's...
Did they get the shooter by any chance?
I don't know. I saw the it was like a news feed that I get. Like 18 wounded, 2 dead in a city in Florida. I can't remember the name. I think it was near Miami, Yayu or something like that.
When
it was
did that
a Halloween
happen?
Party. That's all I know.
Just now.
Really?
Wow.
Huh? Wow.
It's horrible.
Yeah. These people take out whatever... What's ever bothering them, they take it out on all these innocent people. It's so ridiculous. You know, go ahead and kill yourself. Go ahead and kill yourself. And that's bad enough. And that's wrong for me to even say, I guess. But do that instead of harming other people. You know, it's just, it's just so crazy, you know.
You hear the word pandemic, and a lot of people throw that word around, Joe, but there is a pandemic going on.
Oh, yeah.
Pandemic of mental illness.
Well,
it's all over the planet. There's a pandemic of mental illness, and if we'd recognize it as a species, we could fix it. But,
There are demons running free.
Well, we eat, drink, and breathe in a bunch of crap, and who knows what is happening to us.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people
Satan's working overtime.
Oh, he is. But he's supposed to do that near the end, is give it his last shot, because he knows, well, he may not know it, but we all know he's going to lose, so he's doing what he can.
he knows it. He's too proud to admit it.
I always get a kick out of in any story where Mary appears and the devil or a demon is present. They run. They don't confront her. They don't argue with her. They don't talk to her. The minute she shows up, they take off like a bat out of hell. No pun intended.
I mean, well, think about it. She runs with some pretty top character customers. I mean, Michael would be there. Michael would be there in a blink of a second, and it's so fast in time that we can't even quantify. And with him, like a few billion other angels or trillion other angels. I mean, we have no idea how many angels there are. But I guarantee you, we got more than they got.
He knows she's going to crush his head someday. So that's
right.
That's why he runs. That might be the day.
I'm sure they've heard the prediction. So they don't want to mess with her when she shows up. All right, well, it's about that time where we say our worldwide Hail Mary, and what I'm asking is the whole world out there that's tuned in to join with me and all our voices in saying a Hail Mary will rise in unison up to heaven and make heaven smile as heaven will hear us honoring our Blessed Mother. So, without further ado, join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debite nostras, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filio Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Now that was my very best Kathy impersonation. I hope you like that.
I think you don't got it bad. Down there.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good. Back to you, Donald.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I love this series. I love this series. Our Lady, you know, I think can anybody out there tell me what Abba means?
Papa.
Papa. Abba.
Abba.
Right?
Yeah, Abba means daddy.
Father?
Yes.
Father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you go, right here. Abba, Father. And I think...
We are the same.
was beautiful.
Yeah, really? Very nice. All right. Well, that wraps up another round, and we appreciate everyone who tuned in and participated, and we have got just endless stories to tell everyone, endless. It goes on and on. But that's the nature of our Blessed Mother. She never stops, and neither shall we.
Amen. Amen to that. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.